Normally I would come down and just talk to you, but this weekend has so much going on liturgically that I'm sorry I'm not able to come down and just talk to you. I know if I attempted that I would just forget something important that I wanted you to know. But take heart, though, because of the many things that this day represents, I won't be asking you to do too much after you leave here, but just rather to just contemplate a few things that this new year brings. This is the first day of the new year, and yet we seem to enter this year generally in the same mindset that we have all last year, even the weather is miserable. There is a continued war in Ukraine, our economy is still unstable, and COVID still haunts us, offering variants that can cause first-time infections or even reinfections despite vaccinations. There's a very good reason to approach this day, this New Year's Day, as if it's just another day, one in which just a continuation of the chronic low-level anxiety that is prevalent in our country. But we are Catholics, and as such, we are an optimistic people. We are a people blessed by God. And we have a Savior whose birth we have just celebrated and is with us always. And Jesus left us the Eucharist to strengthen us and nourishment in times of distress and doubt. Plus, we have each other. We need each other. A feeling each new year reveals. If I had to offer only one reason why people should attend Mass every week, it would be in light of what's going on out there. It's comforting and consoling to be in a place and around a people who believe in God, who believe in Jesus, and who believe that everything will be all right. We need to worship with each other. And I mentioned that we are blessed by God, a blessing which comes at the end of each Mass. We hear of God's blessed people in our first reading. This blessing, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you kindly and give you peace. That blessing is known as Aaron's blessing, not Father Aaron's blessing. But it's the most powerful blessing in the Bible. Blessings in ancient times were a gift of inheritance of a father to his children. When a father blessed his son, he was gifting him all of his possessions. The father was offering his protection, his grace, and his peace. This blessing from God is not just a wishing of goodwill. It's not just some special designation. This blessing from God is a promise. It's a promise that the Lord is here to watch over and keep each one of us safe, each and every moment of our lives. We can be at peace knowing that God is looking down on us and sharing his freely given infinite grace with us, and that each one of us matters. Receiving God's blessing is a wonderful gift and is the source of our Catholic optimism this New Year's Day. This day is also the day that we hear of Jesus' acceptance into the Jewish family. Today, as part of the circumcision ceremony, the Hebrew name Yahshua is given. That Hebrew name means God saves. This day, Jesus becomes a son of Israel in addition to being the son of God. In giving Jesus his name, his humanity, and importance of that greatest gift, God among us, is sealed. In those closing lines of our gospel, the enormity of the gift is made clear, for Jesus is the name given to him by the angel. Finally, today is the Solemnity of Mary, a feast that honors the motherhood of Mary. Many Catholics believe the Church just came up with this holy day of obligation so as to guarantee that Catholics attend Mass on the first of the year. That might be true. But today does have a major importance. On this solemnity, I want to offer a bit of a different picture of Mary for you to contemplate. I put to you that maybe Mary wasn't the simple, gentle, naive woman we, or at least I, assumed. Maybe Mary knew exactly what she was getting into, and maybe she had the courage to accept that offer to carry the Son of God, fully aware of what it meant. To support my statement, let's turn our eyes not to Nazareth, but to a town just 2 hours west walk from Nazareth. The town is Sepphoris. And since ancient times, that town has been heralded as Mary's birthplace. It was also a town of zealots and rebels. And the city of Sepphoris was destroyed a couple of years before Jesus' birth. It was destroyed by the Romans after a rebellion against the cruel Herod the Great, the same one who ordered the death of all the infants in Bethlehem upon hearing about the birth of the Messiah, Jesus. Mary, living so close and maybe being born in that city, would have been well aware of that event. And in fact, Joseph may have been employed rebuilding that city after its destruction. Mary would have known the danger of receiving an angel from God with an invitation to carry the Savior of God's people. Maybe she was well aware and accepted the responsibility and danger freely, knowingly and courageously. My second evidence is that upon presenting Jesus in the temple, Mary and Joseph are greeted by Simeon, a holy man who has waited for his promise to see God's Savior. And in our gospel, this visit comes immediately after today's reading. Simeon warns Mary, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted." Other translations replace contradicted with opposed or rejected. Simeon even warns Mary that her heart will be pierced. Mary was well aware of what this child was to be, and she accepted her duty as the mother of God because she put her total trust in God. Finally, in our gospel, Luke steps out of the narrative to tell us that Mary kept all these things in her heart. Mary was not a passive carrier of the Christ child, but a fully aware woman who knew that the birth of Christ, God's personal incarnation in history, is a beautiful yet dangerous role that she has accepted. I'm asking you to see Mary a little less like Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz and more like Wonder Woman. Today we honor not just Mary, but all women. And we honor not the idea of an incapable second-class concept of femininity, but a strong, life-giving, and courageous self-giving that all womanhood holds in our great mystery of life, death, and new life. To underscore my proposal, I leave you with a prolonged quote from Pope Francis, that he did in his homily on this solemnity 2 years ago. This is what Pope Francis said. "On the first day of the year, we celebrate this nuptial union between God and mankind, inaugurated in the womb of a woman. In God, there will forever be our humanity, and Mary will forever be the mother of God. She is both woman and mother, and this is what is essential. From her, a woman, salvation came forth, and thus there is no salvation without a woman. Jesus, newly born, has mirrored in the eyes of that woman, in the face of his mother. From her he received his first caresses. With her, he exchanged his first smiles. With her became the revolution of tenderness. The church, looking at the baby Jesus, is called to continue that revolution. For she too, like Mary, is both woman and mother. The church is woman and mother. And in Our Lady, she finds her distinctive traits. She sees Mary immaculate and feels called to say no to sin and to worldliness. She sees Mary fruitful and feels called to proclaim the gospel and to give birth to it in people's lives. She sees Mary a mother, and she feels called to receive every man and woman as a son and daughter. To add the complexity of sorrow and joy on this day, we again learn the death of Pope Emeritus Benedict. Every pope has his well-wishers and his critics, and Pope Benedict was no exception. But he will be most remembered for his courage. He was the first pope to resign his office since Pope Gregory XII was forced to resign in the year 1415. Pope Francis captured for me my affection for Pope Benedict. Pope Francis said, "We are moved to recall him as such a noble person, so kind, and we feel such gratitude in our hearts, gratitude to God for giving him to the church and to the world." Pope Benedict's legacy for me will be that nobility and his writings, especially his three-volume series on Jesus of Nazareth and his very first encyclical letter that may be a good message for us to end and begin this new year. Deus Caritas Est. God is love. Yes, today is quite a day.